Morning, church. This morning when we were just interceding before, God just showed me a picture of, it was basically just like a wall of fire around the church. Just a weird fire because flesh could come through, but evil spirits were standing on the outside. So it was a very comforting place. So that was the first part, is that we, you know, this is the house of God and that we are protected in here and everything like that. But the other thing is that inside this place, it's still dirty. And you know, we had this Amanda who spoke to us about the devil who takes that file and he goes to God with our file and said, yeah, Brad's done this and this, look, he's still guilty of this thing. And all you gotta do is be quick to repent of it, because then he's got no file. And so it's just, I just have this pet sense that what, you know your files. Everyone's got their own files. If you haven't got a file, you've got a file. It's, we all have something that we're working on. And just trust God and just ask Him to show you what that is, and just bring it before God so that your house is clean, so we can all just love each other.
Can we just pray? Yes, Father, we just want to bring this morning before you, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for your love, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you that we can stand and know that you are God, Lord. That we can be still in that place and know that you have us in the palm of your hand, Lord. And Father, this morning I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable unto you, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've paid the price for us, Lord, 2,000 years ago, and we can walk in that freedom, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Richard. I call Richard Richard, and many people get upset, but he likes it as well. This week was massive for me. For those of you who don't know, we had this lady from Stunnerton that brought another intercessor with her, and she they prayed before the time, and then they came and they started sharing with us lots of stuff. And it was amazing to see the things that we were dealing with and the things that we were standing in faith for and the things that we've been saying, how she came to confirm everything that we felt God was saying to us. So I'm very encouraged, because I know that God is real, that God's heart is for us and He's not against us, that God wants to do powerful things through this congregation. And there's a few things that she said that I just want to share, but there's some things that I don't think is the time yet to share. But the one thing that she said was that we are planted in the middle of a stronghold. And then this morning, Deborah came and she said to us that apparently the guys that do Wicca, they do it on this, yeah, this is where they do their stuff in the evenings and late at night. So that's why we planted here, to break the stronghold here. So I'm just, it's just amazing how so many confirmations come of things that has been said to us, that God wants to redeem this place, people in this place, but He wants to use us. But first He must redeem us, because all of us have many hurts. And she said that we as a congregation need healing, because we're broken. So many of us are broken. And that she couldn't talk to us about spiritual warfare, because we first had to come into a place of healing to just receive God's healing. But the simple things confound the wise. And that God will use a simple man like me. and that encouraged me, because I realized it's not about who I am, but it's about who God is and how big He is. The other thing that she said, that we must lead a lifestyle of repentance. And I'll share you a little bit more about that at the end of this message. And then something that she said, that the grace message, when the grace message is out of line with the word, it disarms us before principalities and powers. Because we do not repent, and the devil has a stronghold. As Brad had said, he pulls our file and he takes us out right at that point. Because we think the price has been paid. But we continue with sin and we harbor unforgiveness and stuff in our hearts. But the devil takes that file and he comes to God and he accuses us because we haven't repented. So I think that was quite something that I really wanted to share, and that God wants to deal with us with guilt and condemnation. That the guilt that we have and the condemnation that is put upon us, that He just wants to come and heal and take that away with us. And one of the words that He gave us, Matthew 24, she knew nothing about us. I haven't shared anything, but she said that many will be offended. They will betray one another. And this is the opposite of what God wants to do. The devil's bringing a counterfeit. So, and the counterfeit that he's bringing is false prophets. That signs and wonders comes through false prophets, but it starts with offense. Many will be offended. They will betray one another and they will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. So it starts with offense, and then the false signs will come, and it will finish with a lawlessness and a love that has grown cold. So this is just something that I just realized, Lord, just forgive us for this. And then she said, Matthew 5 verse 9, that I believe is for us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now a peacemaker and a peacekeeper is two different things. A peacekeeper doesn't want to do anything. He stands back. When the accusations comes and the people are maybe in rebellion, he stands back. He doesn't want to influence or offend anyone. But a peacemaker goes and he confronts the issue. And he says, you and you come and sit around this table, talk it out. We bring it into the light now. That's what a peacekeeper, what a peacemaker is. For they shall be sons of God. And all of us must really come and test our hearts. I really believe all of us, me included. And I'll share with you at the end what God has been doing with me, so that we can repent for where we've been wrong. But I'll share with you a little bit more about that. Then the one thing that she continues saying, the finished work of the cross. And she said, the finished work of the cross. And the more she said it, the more I knew God was speaking to me about the finished work of the cross. And I knew I had to say something about the finished work of the cross this morning. So I went to the Bible in John. And as I read the last bits after Jesus was entered Jerusalem on the donkey, what he said. And the first thing that he said was, I'm coming to save the world. This is what Jesus said. He said in John 12, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness, that our eyes will be open to the light of God. Now, last week morning, I trusted God for a miracle, which happened in the morning. And everything that I asked Him to happen, happened. Many people gave words, stuff happened. That evening, I sort of was relaxed, because in the evening, it's almost 10 times more spiritual almost than in the morning for some reason. And the evening was almost like, for me, a disaster. It was like, what was wrong? And I said, because I trusted other people to bring words, so I didn't trust God for words, and I was completely thrown. Then Christy said to me, he's seeing like demons standing around the windows, and they're preventing the gifts to be given to the saints. And we must pray against that. And I thought, oh, Christo. And I shared it, and I was a bit condemned afterwards. Maybe I shouldn't have said this. But anyway, I did say it. Now, one of the intercessors that came with said, on Wednesday and Tuesday, Thursday night, there was darkness because of all the demons that were standing around us. And even Satan was here. And he was standing here because they came to notice what was happening here, because there's a spiritual shift that is taking place. But the Lord Jesus Christ was walking in between here, and his light was so much that they couldn't enter because he was with us. Now I'm starting to get really encouraged, because the word of prophecy is starting to confirm things that is happening. I'll share lots about that later. But Jesus came to set the example. He didn't come to tell us how to do it. He came to set an example, and he came to wash feet. And he said, I'm washing your feet. And Peter said, but Lord, you can't wash my feet. And he said, if you don't wash my feet, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have part of me. Then he said, but wash everything. He said, no, it's only necessary to wash your feet. And he says, for I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done. Jesus came and give us an example that we must do what he has done. And the example is that we must serve one another, that we must wash their feet, that we become the lesser and we honor our brothers as the higher than who we are. And he said, truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You are blessed because you do them. Not because you're a hearer of the word, but because you're a doer of the word. You do what the word says. You don't hear only what it says. And then he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. As I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So this is the message that he's coming. He says, I'm giving you the example. The example is wash one another's feet and love one another as I have loved you. And how did he love us? He died for us. The example that he says, that example that we follow, that the example that he's setting us to follow will lead to heaven. Let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My father's house, there are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a room for you. I wouldn't have said so if it wasn't so, but I'm preparing a room for you. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus just said once again, there are not many ways. There's only one way, and it's through me. And I'm going to prepare a room for you. Because there are many rooms, and I'm preparing those rooms for you. But the example will prune us. We'll go through tough times. This example, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the vine dresser. My father is the vine dresser, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you don't bear fruit, I will take you away and burn you. If you bear fruit, I will prune you so that you can bear more fruit. Because my father is glorified when you bear fruit. So when you go through tough times, don't think you're a bad Christian. It's because you're bearing fruit. Because Jesus comes and he prunes, or God the Father comes and he prunes because he wants you to bear more fruit, that you can grow more and become more to who he is. He says, abide in me and I in you. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, once again, our word, the words of God is in him. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. How many prayers haven't we prayed that didn't come through? But he says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father will be glorified that you bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciples. If you keep my commandments, abide in my love. And then he says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he says something really significant. He says in John 15 verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus is calling us his friends, and he laid down his life for us because we are his friends, because he loved us so much. But we cannot do this in our own strength. It's impossible. You cannot love. You cannot lay down your own life for people. It's impossible. You can't do this. But he said, I'm telling you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, because I'll send you a helper. And this helper will come and he will convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will come and help you wherever you go. Because in John 16, verse 13, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will judge you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Once again, my eyes have been so open to the words of prophecy. When God speaks and he confirms a word by two or three people, it's exciting stuff. God has an exciting plan for every one of us. He wants to redeem us, but he first needs to heal us so that we can become redeemers in him. There's so many things that God wants to do through us. Be open to the word of prophecy, that when God speaks a word into your heart, that you know this is from the Lord, because he's already speaking into your heart, but God wants to confirm it two or three people. The other morning, something major in the spirit happened to me lately, and I slept only 4 hours on a Wednesday night, and the next morning afternoon I just wanted to take a quick nap, and as I wanted to lay down, the Spirit of God came over me, and I got a prophecy from my ex-boss, and I couldn't sleep until I went to go and type it out in the email, and I sent it to her, and then I could relax. But it was massive. I was so amazed by what God was saying to her. But God is opening the Spirit of prophecy to many of us in our congregation, because He says, "You have sorrow now, but your heart, I will come again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you." And remember, this was before the cross. He says, when you see me again, there will be joy, and no one will be able to take the joy from us. So that's the place where we should walk, in the joy of the Lord. And then once again, Jesus says, in John 16 verse 23, He says, "In that day, you will ask nothing of me. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." He says, whatever we ask, He will give to us. Whatever we ask, He will give to us. But this is the example that Jesus came to be. The example in John 18, Pilate said to Him, "Are you the king?" And Jesus answered him, "You say that I'm the king, but for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." But this is how He came to set an example. He was betrayed by one of His disciples. And even when He was betrayed, and Peter took out the sword and he cut that servant's ear off, Jesus said to him, "Don't take this fight into your own hand." When you get betrayed, do you take the fight in your own hand? Or do you pray and say, "God, you take over. You fight this fight for me. I'm not supposed to fight this fight." Or do you fight and you backlash all the time because He says, "Give this fight to God." And Jesus said to Peter, "Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" I just believe God is saying to us, don't fight the battles in our own strength. We should go to Him. And then Jesus faced ungodly leadership. He was sent from Annas and Caiaphas to the priest Pilate, to Herod the king, and back to Pilate. And now Martha, last week, I wanted to make an April Fool's joke. And she said, they prayed the morning before, and they said, if someone makes an April Fool's joke, they're going to get up and walk out. And the fear of God came over me, and I realized how lightly we treat the things of God, because I didn't know, but Jesus is supposed to be the April Fool, because He was sent from the one to the other. And I realized we sometimes do so many things out of lightheartedness, and I just experience how we sometimes even betray the Lord Jesus Christ unknowingly, or we deny Him, because His own friend Peter denied Him. And when the woman asked Him, "Are you one of His disciples?" He says, "I am not." And Jesus didn't go back to him and say, "How can you deny me?" He came back and He restored him. Jesus was questioned about His motives. They questioned Him about His disciples and His teachings. And He said, "Look, everything that I said, I've brought into the light. I've said it, didn't say it in the darkness. I said it into the light." He was accused. He was accused, and they said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And Jesus said to Pilate, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" And I want to ask you, what are you saying about other people? Do you pray for that person that you're crucifying, or that you're bringing the accusations against? Because accusing is the devil's job. It's not our job. Our job is to love. If you have something against your brother, go to that brother with a witness. Go to God. Say, "Lord, I don't understand this. Please, I want to bring this. You sort it out." But stop speaking and accusing your brothers. Because Jesus was tortured and killed for us. He was scorched, the Bible says, and they took whips with a bone and with metal at the top, and they hit Him. Not 39 times, they hit Him until His back was open and the blood was running down His back, and they were beating Him until there was nothing on His back anymore. And they stripped Him naked, completely naked, and all this shame came upon Him because this multitude of people was looking at His nakedness. And they put thorns on His head, and the blood was dripping down His face. And they put a purple robe upon him and they mocked him and they said, the King of the Jews, the King of the Jews. And they laughed at him. And they put him, they bowed before him and said, the King of the Jews. And the man hit him with a stick on his head because there was anger and hatred in him. And they spit on him because they wanted to insult and disgrace him. And they struck him again and they mocked him and they said, prophesy, who struck you? Prophesy who struck you. And then his own people scream, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. This is the example that Jesus came. And not once did he say, why are you doing this to me? Do you know who I am? And he didn't try to, I will myself geregverdig het nie. He just took the blows for us. And then when Pilate said to them, do you want me to crucify your king? They said, we have no king. Caesar is our king. And many times we do this. We say, Jesus is not our king. The world is our king. And I want to ask you, who are you choosing? Are you choosing Satan or are you choosing Jesus this morning? Then Jesus had to die to himself. He had to die. Because it says in John 19 verse 17, he went out bearing his own cross. He carried his own cross. But there's a man that came that helped him. But then they pinned him on Golgotha. And they took his right hand and a 6-inch nail. And they pinned his hand to that cross. And they took his left hand and a 6-inch nail. And they pinned his other hand, his left hand, to the cross. And they put both his feet on top of one another and another 6-inch nail. And they pinned his feet to the cross. And they put the cross up. And he was hanging there from the nails. He wasn't holding onto something. He was hanging from the nails. And if he wanted to breathe, he had to go up like this on his calves. And you do that for a few minutes and you see how tired your calves get. And eventually you can't stand on your calves anymore and you start suffocating. And then the people started speaking against him. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he said, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And then at the end he said, with a loud voice he screamed, and he said, it is finished. And he healed his spirit. And at that moment, when he said it was finished, all sin, iniquity, curse, sickness, death came upon him. He became a murderer. He became a raper. He became a pedophile. He became an adulterer. He became a drunkard. At that moment, he became it for us. And he died. And he took all the sin upon him. And he paid the price. And at that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn, from not from the bottom up, but from the top of down. God torn this curtain, and the earth shook, and the rock split in two, and the saints that were dead, that was asleep, came out of the tombs and appeared to many. Now these are probably Abrams and Sarahs and Isaacs and Joseph that came and appeared to many. One of the centurions said, truly, this was the Son of God. Everyone recognized that this was the Son of God. But we have a choice. Each one of us have a choice. There was two men hanging next to Jesus on the cross. One made a choice. The other one didn't make a choice. And Jesus said to the man who made the choice, today I say to you, you'll be with me in paradise. The other one who didn't make a choice, he didn't go to paradise. There's only two places the Bible says that you can go. You can either go to heaven or you go to hell. He didn't make a choice. Jesus is our Redeemer. He overcame sin, disease, sickness. And he said to us, now he charges us, go with the Holy Spirit to bring people to the kingdom of God. In John 20, when he started appearing to the disciples, first they were in denial. They didn't understand what was happening because this man that died is now appearing to them. And he says to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. And when he had said this, Jesus breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this in our own strength, but we can do it by the Holy Spirit. That's why he came to die on the cross, to receive the Holy Spirit. And God is saying, we must receive the Holy Spirit that we can go. Because that is the finished work of the cross. But the thing that struck me was the following. Jesus came and he said to his disciples in John 20 verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. If you can forgive others, it will, your sins is forgiven. If you withhold the sin of the forgiveness, it will be withheld against you. Now, Wednesday night, after all of us were blessed, Lynette and I and Amanda and Celia sat down, and she pulled my file. She took out my file, and she started telling me all the secret stuff that I have in my heart. And I realized, oh my word, there's a few things that I knew that God said I must deal with, but now she's telling me what those things are. And I realized there's a few things that I've done that I had to repent from. And I had issues with my in-laws since we got married, and they've been speaking, lots of things happened, and I realized that I'm the spiritual, I'm supposed to be the spiritual stronger one. I must go and ask them for forgiveness. This was 1 o'clock that night. That next morning I woke up. The first thing, we woke up at 5 o'clock to go and pray. And afterwards I phoned my mother-in-law and I said to her, Mom, I'm sorry. I've been a bad son-in-law. I spoke against you. I didn't love my sister-in-law. I was not good to her husband. I didn't go to her wedding. I'm sorry. And I continued just saying all the things that I've hurt her. And I said, I'm sorry. And she cried and she didn't understand why. And I just said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. And I put the phone down and I phoned her husband. I said, Umkubas, I'm sorry. I've lied to you. When you asked me what was wrong, I said, there's nothing. But there was something wrong. But it's my fault. I'm sorry that I was nasty to my mother-in-law, and I was nasty to my sister, and I was nasty to her husband, and all these things, and I took it all out. And, you know, probably I can give you 100 reasons why I acted that way. And he came back and he gave me a lot of speech, and I said, I'm sorry, because I'm sorry. And then I phoned my sister, and I said to her, look, I'm sorry. I've spoken against you. I was hard with you. I did this and this, and I was hard against your husband. And she said, why not? I just said, God has spoken to me. I'm sorry. And I phoned her husband, and I said to him, I'm sorry. And I gave him all the reasons why I'm sorry. And then I phoned my father-in-law, Lynette's biological father, and he gave me a long spiritual speech, and I just said, I'm sorry. And I took the shots, but that moment, my heart was open, and blood was pouring out of me. 8 years of pain was coming out of me, and I was on my knees, and I was crying. And I was raw, 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 raw. And God, not immediately, in that day, came and he started restoring me. Because I had said, I'm sorry. And I know I don't have to, ek myself nie vergeld nie. I don't have to say, this is the reasons why it happened. Because Jesus did it 2,000 years on the cross for me. He paid the price. I didn't have to say, but you were wrong. I just had to say, I was wrong and I am sorry. Because Jesus paid the price for me. And that's where forgiveness is. That is where we must go. And we, many times, we keep forgiveness from someone. Because I learned, God spoke to me now. If we bless, we will be blessed. If we withhold blessing, God will withhold blessing from us. If we curse, Satan will curse us. That God says, I want a broken and a contrite heart. That we confess sin, even if it wasn't our fault. If you had spoken against someone because of what that person has done against you, you go and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've hurt you. And I choose to love you. Today, I choose to love you. Maybe there's anger in your life, or malice, or hatred. I don't know. But I want to say to you, as a congregation, I'm sorry to you, because I brought offense into this congregation. Because I had offense in my heart and I brought it into this congregation. I want to repent before you that I've done that to you. And I hope that you forgive me. And I've already prayed that God comes and restore this. But that we bring offense before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And maybe there are people here that you need to go and say, look, I'm sorry. God wants to heal us as a congregation. He wants to do mighty works with us. But we first must come to a place of healing where he can come and restore us, because he's attacking our marriages and he's attacking our children. We had the word. I'm seeing it manifesting, but the word came. There's an assignment against the marriages and an assignment to kill the children. So we leave open doors. And the word that God also showed me is renunciation lists. We work through these lists and we repent, 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 but it doesn't mean anything because it doesn't come from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God didn't open these things to us. We just do it because we've attended a course. And I really believe that our healing doesn't go, doesn't come from Foundations 4 or whatever other course you've done. It comes from that place where the Holy Spirit tells you, now, your number is up. Come forward. Now, repent of that sin. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the healing. It's not the course that we attend. So as we finished, Micah 6 verse 8 says, He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And I just ask the worship guys, if you can just come and maybe do that. Here we are to worship song. Is she still here? Yanni? Okay. If you guys can maybe just, or any other of the songs that you feel in your heart, Richard. But I just want to give you the opportunity to stand up and pray. And maybe this morning that we just go back to the cross and say, God, where have I missed it? Not where others have missed it, but where have I missed it? That we just come before God and say, Lord, I want to walk, a pure walk. This thing, the filth that we need to clean out, that we just come and say, Lord, I repent of what I have done wrong, where I maybe have spoken against people, where I've caused disunity, where I've done whatever the case might be, that we just come, bring it to the altar. Maybe you want to go to someone. Maybe you want to say to your wife, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've been nasty to you or to your father or to your mother or to your child. Say, I'm sorry that I've hurt you. I really believe this is what God wants us to do this morning. If you can just stand it, I can pray with you. Yes, Father, I thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago on the cross, Lord, you paid the price for us, Lord. You paid the price. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we have a decision. It's a choice that we make. That we either decide not to decide, or we decide to follow you. And this morning, if there's anyone that wants to decide to follow Jesus, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to become radical for Him, to bear your own cross, I just want you to come forward. So that, just come forward. Just come and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to embarrass you. You can come out when the time is right for you. If there's people who wants forgiveness, or people that needs to be forgive, and they realize no one is going to ask them for forgiveness, I want you to come to the altar of God and just say, Lord, I just surrender to you because my forgiveness has happened 2,000 years ago. There's no one that will say to me, I'm sorry. But I know you have already said to me, I am sorry. And maybe you are here and you need to ask other people for forgiveness. I just want you to respond as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in your heart. And Father, I thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, that we can speak a blessing over every marriage. We can speak your protection over the marriages and our children, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that I can release a spirit of unity in this church, Lord. A spirit of love in our church, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you unite our hearts together, Lord. And Father, that there's no fear because we're in you, because you loved us so much, Lord. You've been so radical that you died on the cross, Lord. You've been suffered. You suffered and were tortured and you were died so that we can have life and life in abundance, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in you, Lord, we are more than conquerors, Lord. That we don't have to come back and say, look, you've done this and this wrong. That we just can come to you, to the cross, and say, Lord, this is what's happened to me. Please heal me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a new work. Thank you, Lord, that you have released the spirit of prophecy on this church as well, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're right here to break strongholds, Lord, because you say your love covers a multitude of sins, Lord, in the name of Jesus.